steps to the mic with a boom ping ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom ping ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom ping ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, oh the airwaves king. Shake the ground, unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday, August 3rd, 2026. Early voting in the city of Milwaukee at a variety of different scattered sites, north side, south side, downtown, have been open since Tuesday, July 28th, 2026. So you could go during normal business hours and at some locations, even on weekends, to cast your ballot in this upcoming very hotly contested Democratic primary election. And because there has been so much drama, so many people in the race and out of the race, and big name folks that are coming into town, and all of the rallies and all of the national attention, you know, Mandela Barnes, the former lieutenant governor, was in the race for governor. Then he dropped out. Then Sarah Rodriguez had $2 million. Then she didn't have $2 million. Then she had $600,000. Then she had $34,000. Then she dropped out of the race. Then David Crowley dropped out of the race. David Crowley had $315,000. He decided he was going to get back in the race. And then Governor Tony Evers endorsed him. It's exhausting, right? I can't wait till this damn thing is over. And so I have the early voting number. So one thing the city of Milwaukee does very, very well is they will report the number of people who have voted on each day, cumulative. So all of the votes that were cast the first day of early voting, which was Tuesday, July 28th, the next day was Wednesday, the 29th. And I have dates through this past Saturday, so 2 days ago, of how many people have voted at the different early voting sites throughout the city of Milwaukee. Now, I went into this thinking, and I had my preconceived notions, which you really shouldn't have when it comes to Wisconsin politics, because what we may know and understand conventionally will oftentimes be upended. And I will say, I will begin with the meteoric rise of a state assembly representative from Madison, and her taking over this Democratic primary. I would not have necessarily predicted that. She brings a crowd. They say better than 1,500 people pack the auditorium at South Milwaukee High School. I believe the rally was yesterday. You had firebrand progressive podcaster and Twitch streamer Hassan Piker, and they went out and they did a canvas. You had Minnesota congressional representative and member of the Progressive Caucus in the House of Representatives. Ilhan Omar was in the House. So that's a pretty hefty list of notable and widely understood and known progressive either activists or members of Congress came to campaign for Francesca Hong. My producer Xavier was there. He got some video footage that he is he's editing as we speak and going to put together a little I guess an exposé of the rally. Looking forward to seeing it. In fact, I may feature it on the Hughes Views 414 YouTube channel, assuming there are no copyright violations because, you know, Xavier does own that footage. FYI, mark your calendars for August 11th, which your calendar should be marked already. But starting at 7 p.m. on August 11th, myself and Dr. Ken Harris are going to be doing a live online stream of the election and election results beginning at 7 p.m. So you are all more than welcome. And we look forward to seeing you all on the Hughes Views 414 YouTube channel. We are going to broadcast the election results and also give commentary. It might even have a couple of special guests. And to the best of my knowledge, we are the only ones who are doing such a live stream covering the election as the polls close and as the returns come in that is focused on the impact of Milwaukee. So looking forward to doing that broadcast with Dr. Ken. So I started the program talking about all of the ups and downs and the inconsistencies and the direction changes of this Democratic primary. And I believe, this is my preconceived notion, that early voting would be robust because you have a Milwaukee candidate that is running. David, in fact, there were two at one point. There were three, technically, with Joel Brennan. And I figured because there's so much excitement, it would seem, in this race and just so much media attention on it, not just locally but even nationally, that early voting numbers would be through the roof. Now, we also have to level set here because a high turnout midterm election, even though this is not a usual set of circumstances, Donald Trump, of course, is back in the White House. There is a Republican majority in the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives, not to mention the number of Republican-controlled state legislatures and Republican governors. And if you are all dissatisfied with anything, with the state of our politics, maybe with the rhetoric, maybe you don't like what some of these politicians are saying and how they're saying it, if you are upset with the very low standard that we have for some of our elected officials, if you are upset that they still haven't released all of the details and all of the names in the Epstein files, if you're not happy about the economy, if you believe that wages are too low and prices are too high, if you believe that you are at all lied to about the price of gas or groceries, maybe you were lied to when you felt slighted when one person, one particular political party, campaigned pretty hard on no more forever wars. In fact, blame previous international conflicts that the United States found ourselves in on a Republican establishment, right? Either the George Bush administration, but then shared some blame with the Obama administration, but maybe less because Barack Obama was president when we started our drawdown of troops in the Middle East. And of course, Joe Biden was there when the last of our troops ended that war on terror that lasted 20 years. That, let me be clear, we did not win. And so Donald Trump was campaigning against those forever wars. They cost too much. We have to put America first. And there were some people that actually believed that. They believed what he was running on, that he would put America first. If you were disappointed or at all disaffected by the way immigration policy has been executed, that people are being snatched up, that are being denied due process, and there are and have been people that have been killed, and there are people who have every legal right to be in this country, but their legal right visitation in the United States has been overlooked, and they have been snatched up and deported too. So if any of those things have rubbed you the wrong way, and not to mention what might be happening in your community, there are less dollars and less resources coming from the federal government to blue cities and to blue states because Donald Trump has said as much. DOGE, which seems like a distant memory, a lot of the funding that was allocated by Congress, that's a very important thing to remember, that Congress allocates those dollars that would come to the city of Milwaukee for everything from youth programming to, I don't know, extended library hours and after-school programs for kids. A lot of that stuff was cut, and I think that we are seeing the impact and the results of that. So regardless of how far away the federal government seems, it really can have a measurable impact here locally. So if any of those things rubbed you the wrong way and have you a little bit more fired up, you only have one political party to blame because they control everything. And the Republicans control the Wisconsin state legislature. So there's one political party that you can blame for all that. And I named a whole bunch of issues, and there's probably dozens and dozens more that impact even smaller constituencies of people. But those were some of the pretty big ones, okay? And you would think that people would be so excited and so eager to change direction when it comes to political party. Midterm elections are oftentimes about we don't like the party that is in control and in power because they are not delivering on their promises or it is setting us backwards. And then people are excited to give the other political party a chance. Milwaukee is a very Democratic city. In fact, somewhere near 20% of the state's population resides in southeastern Wisconsin, city of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County, et cetera. So, and we're overwhelmingly Democratic. However, Racine has got an identity problem. So does Kenosha. They don't know what they are. You know, I have spoken ill of Racine for a very long time. And shout out to the people that are in Racine. It's not necessarily against you. I mean, it's against some of you. You know, I've always offered to sell Racine to the lowest bidder. Anyone that'll just come take it away and just take it and just move it and evacuate it, I've offered selling it to Chicago. Chicago didn't want it. Here's what I'm going to – I got to sweeten the deal. Selling Racine is trying to like – it's kind of like, rather, getting a development to come in at Midtown. Nobody wants to do it. So I'm going to sweeten the deal. I'm going to go ahead and sell Kenosha, too. You get a package deal. You get a twofer. You get a buy one, get one. BYO. Buy one, B-O-Y-O. BOGO. That's what it is. BOGO. Buy one, get one. Because they don't know what they are, Democrat or Republican voting counters. I said all that to say this. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to give you the early voting numbers thus far as of Saturday, August 1st. So all of the early votes that have been cast. This is a very interesting election. It's getting a lot of attention. I think that I would think that that would translate into a lot of people going and voting. I'll give you the numbers on the other side. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Lick my bum, but clock my rod to talk, talk, talk. Got him going crazy for that poo, na, 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 na. I get what I want, I got that ooh, shalaka, laka. Oh. He do what I say for that ooh, ma, da, da, da.
Why would I play this?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm not saying it's a song by Pink Blush. I don't know why. I
don't even know who that is.
It's so terrible that it's good. She's got that boom shalakalaka.
So when you ride around the street in a Tesla, you're blasting that?
I actually did, and I felt some kind of way about it. I play weird music. People look at me like I'm insane, and rightfully so. That's, I mean, I accept all of the things that people throw at me. I'm really entertained by it because, you know, people listen to you every single day and they think that they know you. The biggest one is, so this is a new one. So black church folks love to think that I'm gay.
Really?
Oh, that's huge. Absolutely. But black church folks are some of the worst sinners and gossipers you will ever find. And then they wonder why a younger generation doesn't attend black church services, because we have social media to gossip on. And so the black church was like social media before social media. And it's crazy because you have all of these 70-something and 80-something-year-old black folks whose kids are failures and whose kids don't even talk to them anymore, but they get together and they gossip and they love to talk about me. So whatever. Cause I guess I say things. I don't think that I say very negative things about women. I'm just honest with women in a way that most men are afraid to be, because those men who are married to women, you got to lie to your wife 3 times a day at least. You have to lie to her, because if you're honest with her, that's a problem. We don't want those problems. Or if, here's the best part, if there's a legitimate problem or issue in the relationship and the man brings it up because the problem needs to be addressed, she now is upset that he is upset. Forget the problem, and then she'll make it a referendum on him and his tone, and she'll feel attacked. So she gets to escape accountability, and the problem never gets resolved. And then you wonder why your man doesn't talk to you anymore, because there's no point. And so by me saying that, apparently, makes me gay. If that's the case, give me a rainbow flag and a unicorn and a bag of glitter.
Oh, okay. So you're going to be dyeing your hair or your beard purple?
I'm not going to go that far.
Oh, okay.
I'm just always tickled by, and also come to find out after doing this for a bunch of years, people only understand what I say to their level of knowledge, right? So if I say some real high-level political stuff, and some people, their political knowledge or intelligence is much lower, they're only going to understand it at the level in which they comprehend, not necessarily at the level in which I say it. So, and here's the thing. I don't want to dumb anything down, because I think that that harms people, black people in particular, because we can't afford to be dumb. That's a luxury that black people do not have. We don't have the luxury to be ignorant and to live in that bliss, because if we do, we are easy to outmaneuver and much easier to oppress if we are not fully versed in bills, laws, regulations, and rules, because we'll be out here breaking rules and laws and won't even know certain things are illegal. Next thing you know, we're doing 18 months because we were ignorant of the law. That's neither here nor there. On Tuesday, July 28th, the first day of early voting, and let me give you the list of sites, because there's a bunch of them. Good Hope Library, Midtown Voting Center, Tippecanoe Library, the Washington Park Senior Center, the Zablocki Library, and the Zeidler Municipal Building. So those are the early voting sites. So we're literally offering locations in which people can vote in this very hotly contested, much talked about national news election cycle, where a democratic socialist who is promoting a specific form of social democracy is absolutely cleaning up in the polls. The other thing I'll say about Franny Pants can bring a crowd. She can get a crowd, which is very common for the democratic socialist types, because I remember Bernie Sanders could bring a crowd too. I don't know if Joel Brennan is bringing a crowd. I don't know. Maybe Joel Brennan has a gigantic rally that fills the American family of baseball stadium. Maybe Joel Brennan has a rally that's so big it's got to be in Chicago and Milwaukee at the same time. Maybe, just maybe, and I'm holding out hope here, that Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley has a rally that's so big that it fills Lambeau Field with 80,000 people, and Michelle Obama comes and Barack Obama comes. Oprah, why not? They dig up Joe Biden. They roll him out in a wheelchair, or just like on a in a hospital bed. He's got an IV. Maybe they roll him out.
Negro, please.
You might even have to bring Mama La Kamala, and you have all these people at Lambeau Field for David Crowley, and there's 80,000 people there, and women are showing their breasts because, you know, it's a party. Maybe that's all in the works because we only have one more weekend until the election actually starts. You guys want to hear the early vote numbers? Man, I thought they were going to be explosively high. I thought we were going to break records. On day one, Tuesday, July 20th, at all of those different sites, okay, 587 people voted citywide. 505, that's it. I'll get more views on one of my YouTube broadcasts than voted on the first day of early voting.
Damn.
Day two, Wednesday, July 29th, 706 people voted. At least it went up. We're trending upward. Thursday, July 30th, 750 people voted. All right, now, starting our uptrend. Friday, July 31st, 624 voters. Darn it. Okay, what about Saturday, August 1st? You know, a lot of people work during the week. They have two jobs. They got to work a lot of jobs because the wages are too low and everything is very expensive. So they have to work another job. So they'll go vote on Saturday because hopefully they have the weekends off. And that is when they were waiting to go and vote. So I look at the numbers from Saturday, August 1st. I'm expecting this to be the highest early voting turnout day. No, it was one of the lowest. Only 344 people voted. And that is the data that we have thus far. Oh, I have yesterday's numbers. Okay, here we go. Yesterday at the Good Hope Library, 30 people voted, one voter registered.
Damn.
Midtown, yesterday, Sunday, August 2nd, 45 people voted, one person registered.
Damn.
The Tippecanoe Library, 47 people voted. They had three new registrants. Well, you might as well play damn for that.
Damn.
There it is. And at the Zeiler Municipal Building downtown, I believe they had the highest Sunday afternoon voter turnout with 54 votes cast, but zero new registrants.
Damn.
So there you go. So yesterday, 176 people voted. This is not – so all of these numbers, because I would assume that in the city of Milwaukee, even though the vote is going to be split a whole bunch of different ways, David Crowley is the county executive. I'd imagine the higher the early vote totals are at these scatter sites in the city of Milwaukee, particularly at the Good Hope Library and also at Midtown, those votes would favor David Crowley. But here, let's look at what's the highest day. Thursday, July 30th, 750 people voted. At the Good Hope Library, they got, of the 750 people that voted citywide, that voted early at one of these different scattered sites, the Good Hope Library, Midtown, Tippecanoe, Washington Park, Zablocki Library, and the Zeiler Municipal Building. So I would assume Washington Park, the Good Hope Library, and Midtown, voter turnout there, if it's higher, would favor David Crowley. So on the highest voting day since early voting started, the Good Hope Library saw 102 voters with seven new registrations. Midtown saw 202 with 13 new registrations. Tippecanoe, 119. Washington Park, 35. Zablocki Library, 103. And the Zeiler Municipal Building, 189. So that highest turnout day did see increased numbers of voters in areas where I would like to think that David Crowley would do well. But what's going to happen is his polling numbers that a lot of folks don't want to believe, and if you are a supporter of a particular candidate, you never believe the polls if the polls say that your candidate is down. This is one of these delusions that voters have. Well, I don't believe those polls because this is the person I'm supporting and they're very good. There's no way they're at 5%. You're a poll of one, and to you, the candidate that you prefer is polling at 100%. But that's to you. You think that they're great. You think that they're going to win. You don't believe the polls. But here's what's crazy. If your candidate that you support wholeheartedly is winning in the polls, well, now all of a sudden, now those polls are accurate. I don't hear a single Francesca Hong supporter, and her supporters are just, they're gung-ho They are, can I say, balls to the wall, even though some of her supporters don't have balls. Some of her supporters used to have them. You know what I mean? It's a mixture of ball, okay? But none of them will say, oh, Francesca Hong is leading with 34%. None of them are going to say, I don't believe that poll. That poll is faulty. Like, oh, the polls are more accurate than ever. So if you support a candidate and they're performing poorly in the polls, you don't believe it. But if David Crowley all of a sudden spiked up to 62% support, all of those people that didn't believe he was at 5% would absolutely believe that he was at 62%. So I'm trying to level set here and reduce expectations. This is going to be an exceptionally low voter turnout election, and that is probably going to hurt the candidate that is from Milwaukee, where voter turnout was high. I don't even know. David will win Milwaukee County, I think. But if he wins it, it'll be by a narrow margin because Francesca has been campaigning very, very heavily in David Crowley's backyard. So I'm going to take a break. When I come back, we are going to talk about the rally that took place at South Milwaukee High School, which is a very unlikely place because South Milwaukee is not known for its left-leaning politics. It's an old, working-class, southern shore suburb of Milwaukee, and the political proclivities of South Milwaukee are not as liberal as one might think. But also keep in mind, the people that came to that rally weren't necessarily from South Milwaukee. They could have been from all over the region. This is just where they happened to have the rally in the auditorium at South Milwaukee High School. And the turnout was fantastic. And the line was very, very long. And I think that shows at least the relative strength of Francesca Hong's ability to bring people together, even in a county which she is not currently an elected official. So I'm going to take a break, come back, continue our conversation. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back shortly.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I don't think I want to play that song. That's not a good song to play.
Want me to play something?
No, I got it. That was almost a problem. See, I need to stop playing ratchet music because what happens is I have a playlist that's going on in the background. And so when I come back from commercial break, it just continues to play and I just turn the volume up. And my playlist, I'm going to take some YouTube commentary. If you haven't done so already, ladies and gentlemen, find us on 1017 The Truth via YouTube. Open up your YouTube app from your smartphone or other mobile device, or go to YouTube.com if you're one of those kind of people. Search 1017 Le Truth. Hit subscribe. I don't have a YouTube poll up because I don't even want to ask y'all anything. I think I have all of my questions answered. Grab some commentary off of YouTube. Linda says, Sherwin, and good morning, everybody who is joining us via the YouTube. We appreciate you all very much. Linda says, Sherwin, has a Milwaukee been a hot spot in politics? I'm not sure why. And will this and the presidential election depend on the black vote? I don't think anything's going to depend on the black vote anymore. I think that they're both Democrats and Republicans are looking for ways around it. And so if our Democratic politics in the state of Wisconsin are being shifted to the left to where enough people think that Democratic socialist policies and Democratic socialist candidates are the adequate response to Donald Trump, then black voters are going to be excluded from that conversation because we are not robust in our support for Democratic socialism. We're not. And it's reflected in the core of their platform. It looks more at like cooperatives and workers' rights and organized labor. It does not get into the nitty-gritty details of racial disparity. And black people, I think, see and understand that. but also it seems to be a much younger political cohort. Even though there's some racial diversity in those who would consider themselves democratic socialists, it is still really, really super white. From the pictures that I saw of the rally in South Milwaukee, it wasn't 50-50. By any means was there heavy brown people representation, but nobody is shocked by that. So if black Democrats are old and stodgy and feeble and are establishment, then black voters are the reason why these social democratic policies are unable to take root, because black voters are just so addicted to the corporate democratic establishment. Therefore, you black voters are in the way. So if we can maneuver around you by engaging new people and new voters and young people who spend a bunch of money on college but are still working at the coffee shop making minimum wage and they can't afford their health insurance, they can't even afford to buy a house, they barely can afford their rent. If you can get those folks who have, you know, essentially been disconnected from politics because they're focused on themselves and taking care of their dog, because, you know, this younger generation, they don't have kids, they have dogs. And if you get them all fired up and riled up, and then you can engage a whole bunch of new, younger voters, you can tell black people to screw off. That black fatigue is permeating its way through both political parties. And if we are labeled as the establishment, which is a slur, it's not a very good thing. You are the establishment. You're preventing progress. You're old, and you're stalling where the Democratic Party needs to go, and that's much further to the left to promote these policies. And it's almost like you niggers better know what's good for you, and the policies that we promote are good for you. Now, we're not going to outreach to you directly, but you better know what's good for you. You establishment sons of a bees, that's what you are. I posted some very objective things on my various social media over the weekend. I created a couple of YouTube shorts, and I went in great detail in very unambiguous language where democratic socialists do not get into the nuances of race. And if we are concerned about disparities, and we are, democratic socialists, they just don't have a policy platform for that. But also, keeping in mind, they don't need it, because they're much broader on overall economic issues and the economy and, you know, corporate ownership of things, et cetera, et cetera. So they kind of overlook racial nuance. And I posted that. Here's the problem that I have, and I have many. The strongest supporter, and I saw this with Bernie too, and I'm also going to give you an example that is going to show that history has mimicked this place that we are in right now. And history is going to be a really, really good guide, because there were factions of political parties, either a faction on the left or a faction of the right, that really wants to take over, and they want to be the dominant force and voice in the political party. The Tea Party in 2010, Obama gets elected in 08. The Tea Party comes out of essentially nowhere. They're very, very angry, mostly that Barack Obama was president, and they started attacking him on everything from, oh, he's increasing our taxes, to, oh, Obamacare sucks. And there was this movement where a whole bunch of Tea Party individuals got elected in that moment, because the Republican Party went even further to the right, and they called themselves the Tea Party. Here's what they did. They got some people elected to Congress, because Congress is where the crazy people get elected, because congressional elections are much smaller. U.S. Senate races are much more centrist, more moderate. They are less politically extreme, even though some of the people that Donald Trump has supported and endorsed for the U.S. Senate tend to be more extreme. Voters oftentimes reject extremes when it comes to electing a senator, unless it's Mandela Barnes running against Ron Johnson. In that case, the more extreme Donald Trump endorsed and supported Republican did, in fact, get elected. I'm still scratching my head at that one. But the Tea Party was able to produce a lot of primary wins and some members of the House of Representatives getting elected. But their candidates that they produced, because they won a lot of primaries, failed in general elections. So Barack Obama lost the House of Representatives in 2010 to a Tea Party uprising, but maintained the Democratic majority in the U.S. Senate, because those same candidates who got elected to the House of Representatives with Tea Party support failed in the U.S. Senate, because the Senate oftentimes doesn't go for such political extremes, because it's different if you are running in a congressional district, which is about the size of a mid-sized city, versus if you are running a U.S. Senate campaign, which is statewide and takes into account the plurality of different political viewpoints, far left, far right, moderate, independent, et cetera, et cetera. So we are in that moment right now where democratic socialism, what I would argue is an extreme of the left, may produce a primary win, but it is not going to produce a general election win, because you are catering to two totally different kinds of voters. Primary voters are very specific, very unique. They can be exceptionally extreme. Okay. And so I posted some things, just providing just objective fact that people are not looking at anymore. I'm also trying to point to history that, ladies and gentlemen, we have been here before, and I can tell you what the result is. This is the part that I'm most troubled by. The most staunch democratic socialists are some of the most disrespectful and insufferable human beings you ever could come across. Because if I post something that is matter of fact about Francesca Hong and why her policies may fall short in a general election contest, you're stupid. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. They immediately go to what is called ad hominem. They know that they don't have a policy debate, so they attack the person, and it's almost universal. They're insufferable. Here's the problem. I don't want them to be my political allies. So if you are going to be disrespectful of someone who's trying to get you to think deeper about these issues so you can be prepared for an overfunded Republican Party, and if I'm trying to share, like, hey, this is where you all are falling short, here is where you are excluding the core of the Democratic Party, meaning black voters, they immediately attack you. I got attacked so bad, I was like, I better take this thing down, because some of these nut jobs will have you swatted. That's how insane they are. And I don't think that they realize that that has an impact on people's voting behavior. You may like Fran's policies, but if you hate her supporters, we're going to take it out on her. Let's talk to the town. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing, sir?
Doing all right. What's on your mind?
I was thinking about the race and how it's coming super fast and how it's not really a word out to no drives, no voter drives or whatnot like that. And I think that's done on purpose. You know, I think that's really done on purpose, because like I heard that the Democratic Party, see the problem with the Democratic Party and the Democratic Socialist is that the Democratic Socialist is not using their money. You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, they doing it.
How
they,
so?
They ain't there on their own. But the DNC, they have a fundraising problem. And they got, I heard they got a problem with getting money to the advertisers or whatever like that, or whatever, how they do it. Or anyway. But anyway, though, this is what I think. Black people, all black people, we got to stand on it and we got to play some chess. All right. And, you know, I be liking Hong policies. Like you just said, I be liking what she say. I like what she say. You know what I'm saying? But this is the preliminary. This ain't the finals. Every black person should vote for the county executive. Everybody. If you black, you have to vote for Crowley.
Why?
Even if Crowley loses. That way, when the numbers come up and when people can extrapolate the data, they're going to see what we always know. Like, man, you can't get the state unless you get Milwaukee and the fat piece of Milwaukee being a Democrat. Then we can go to Hong and we can tell her, because the main problem I got with Hong is, man, stop tripping. What you going to do for black people in Milwaukee? What you going to do for the economic engine of the state, the jewel of the state? You know, we can come to her with them tough questions and you know, so we can have her like tweak her message or whatever like that to be like, okay, let's talk about the brothers and the sisters. They've been going through a lot in Wisconsin, and you know the numbers about that. So that's what I think. If you black, you have to vote for Crowley, no matter what, because you voting in your best interest. That's my time. Peace.
All right, thank you for your call. I see where he's coming from with that, because if David Crowley has a robust showing from African American voters, then logic would say Francesca, as she moves toward the general election, would have to include some of the issues, or maybe do a deeper dive into the sentiments of black voters, because she might want African Americans in her coalition. I'm not seeing any evidence of that now. So if I was her, I would continue to do what she is doing because it is working. And if you can engage new voters, because our turnout is going to be ridiculously low. That's the other thing that really hurts us. Like, we want to be included and have our policy issues be front and center, but we don't vote in very high numbers for a bunch of reasons. Some of it is illiteracy. A lot of us can't even read the ballot, and we're too embarrassed to talk about that. But we want to be overrepresented in political conversations and in policy making, but we don't vote even in like our smaller local elections. Like, candidates look at that. And so if we have low voter turnout in county board supervisor elections and in aldermanic elections, and we refuse to vote in school board elections, then a candidate will say, it's not worth my money to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars in a black turnout operation when you're only going to get 10, 15, maybe 20% of African-American votes, where you can invest half of that money and get a 30, 40, 50% turnout in young, white, in college or just out of college kids who were disappointed by the current system of government, right? So you have to look at how far is your money going to go? And I'm going to push back on the town just a little bit. He said that Francesca's not using her money. Oh, yes, the hell she is. That rally that she did in South Milwaukee costs money. Her ads on social media cost money. Her TV ads cost money. Oh, she's spending. She's also getting a whole heck of a lot of earned media. She's all up on Fox News and Fox Business News and CNN because they're all fascinated with her. So that's money she doesn't have to spend because she's getting national exposure for her campaign. I'm going to take a break, come back, grab another telephone call on the other side. A little while ago, I read some of the early voting numbers coming out of the city of Milwaukee, and they are exceptionally low. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Let me buy you a drink. I don't care what it costs, baby. Our phone number is 833-212-1017. Let's talk to Bob. Hello, Bob. How are you?
Hello, Sherwin. What they said about Hong trips me out. The Republicans seem dumber as Trump. Why would you say on a commercial on TV, we will be less safe if we don't have ICE? The people in this country do not like ICE unless they change their tactics. That's dumb. I mean, you know, it's that is so dumb. The dumbest Trump. And I also need to say, you know, that Racine is okay. Oh. It's okay. You don't need to knock Racine. And Sherwin, I must always give you ice
Bob,
cream.
Don't get yourself in trouble now. You're going to get your feelings hurt now. Don't do it.
I must give you,
I've been nice to you lately. I will attack. I'm going to hurt you.
Look, Sherwin, I must give you ice cream and cake But I got to give you some casserole, too, to keep you sane, man. You know, I got to give you some casserole.
Bob, I don't.
It keeps you healthy.
Hold on, man. You better proceed with caution.
It keeps you healthy. You know what I mean? You know, I can't give you ice cream and cake all the time.
Bob, I don't. Let's put it this way. First of all, me accepting ice cream and cake from you is creepy and weird. Don't offer it. I don't want any ice cream and cake. Just call the radio station, give your little comments, and then just call it a day, and then go on back to ironing clothes and making dinner. That's all you got. You ain't got to make it all complicated, man. Stay on the issue. Stay on the merits of what we're discussing. You don't make it all weird now. So you said, okay, you don't like what the Republicans are saying, and they're crazy as Trump. You could have left it right there and just be done, and then everybody leaves happy.
I don't like how you talk about Racine, man. It's okay. This is Wisconsin, man. You know, you talk about Racine and Kenosha. Who do you think you are?
Bob, Racine is a Trump voting county. Didn't you just criticize Trump and the Republicans a second ago? In fact, when you call, you oftentimes criticize Trump and the Republicans. Racine oftentimes votes for the Republican candidate for president. I find that to be problematic. And also keep in mind that Donald Trump won the state of Wisconsin in 2016 and in 2024 with the help of Racine. And all I'm saying is we don't need it because it's messing up the politics, man. Now go lay down. Just go get you a little nap. Wake up by 12 o'clock. Start your little afternoon routine. Go get you a little rest, okay? All right, then. We'll talk to you, Bob. See that? That's all you got to do. You ain't. Racine votes for Republicans, and we don't. If you just sold Racine and Kenosha to Chicago, because Chicago is very Democratic in its political proclivities. In fact, Chicago is so Democratic, the entire state of Illinois is blue. So what I'm saying is just absorb Racine and Kenosha into Chicago and into Illinois, and then Racine and Kenosha can vote as Republican as they want, but it will not impact Illinois still being a blue state. It's just a simple matter of electoral math. So if there are states or counties, rather, in southeastern Wisconsin that are messing up the vote, just sell them. And then we'll have more revenue for free Badger Care. We'll have more revenue to fix the public schools. A side note on that, if the two-term governor and two-term former superintendent of public instruction couldn't fix the public schools, then electing a non-educator as governor will not also fix the public schools, because I'm tired of that talking point because it's inaccurate. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour two.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.